27 doctor turnovers really the story of the game. Torrey Bennett led the way for the Dodgers in scoring last night. Madrid over Ogden, 38-17. Bishop Garrigan over West Hancock, 62-54. Sioux Central over Westman Mallard, 50-33. Emmitsburg over East Sac County, 46-25. Southeast Valley edged Alta Aurelia, 48-46. Newell Fonda, 81-50 over Pocahontas Area. And Coach Dick Jungers from Newell Fonda Girls Basketball coming up later in the program. Eagle Grove, a 55-30 win over Buffalo Center, North Iowa. Clarion Goldfield Dowes, 42-30 over Hampton Dumont Camp. On the boys' side, St. Edmund fell to Algona last night, 51-43, three Gales in double figures. Hayden Mayer leading the way for the Gales and coming up just short. And that's a game, of course, you heard here. And joining me to talk about it, man, and much more, he's Coach Adolf Kokendorfer. Coach K, good to see you. I feel like it's been too long, and it's good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Right. I know that you like to come here off a win, and I like to have you off a win. We both want a St. Edmund win. So I know last night to go on the road to Algona and fall 51-43. From what I could tell, Coach, you kind of got in that second quarter, really had a little trouble with where they kind of started to put some distance on.
Yeah, you know, they're very athletic and very physical. Had, you know, good football. And that plays over into basketball.
Right.
A lot of offensive rebounds for them. You know, we kind of went out there not ready for that. Even though you talk about it, you know, sometimes they just, for whatever reason, aren't ready for it.
Yeah.
And it was physical. And they sent four guys to the glass that for us, were very athletic. You know, and you know, they got 5'9" guards that are just athletic and quick. And we didn't do a good job putting a body on them. We didn't do a good job of, you know, being physical.
Right.
You have to. And so that kind of got us behind the eight ball a little bit.
And, you know, that's one of the things where sometimes, you know, we talk about prepared for things in practice. And you prepare with what you have. So sometimes when you don't have the same type of athlete or same type of player, it's hard to match down in practice to be ready for.
Yeah, it really is. That's an underrated stat, or however you want to put it.
Right.
You know, we found out with our passing in practice, we can get away with slow lobs, you know, cross-court passes without anything on them. We can get away with that in practice, but during the game, they're going the other way.
Yeah, sure.
And it really, we talk about that, and that's been something. And you're right, physical. We do have some kids on that JV, though, that will be physical in practice. And you know, we don't call a lot of fouls. We want them to go through arms and expect contact.
Sure.
And things like that. So we don't call a lot of fouls. It doesn't get cheap, but it gets physical. I don't know, you know, I was just talking to Caleb about that. He was saying coming out of the locker room, you know, they play well against this team a few times in a row, and then they didn't come out ready to go last night, you know, in that respect. And it happened to us, kind of.
Yeah,
you know, we've got to somehow, it helps with your seniors if they are tuned in for those younger guys to see that and be part of that.
Sure.
You know, then that draws them right in. So, you know, Wednesday night I thought we were ready to play, or not Wednesday night, excuse me, last Monday night I thought we were ready to play.
Yes,
you
Webster
know?
City. Got a win, which is a big win because, you know, obviously that's a school that's about three times your size. So anytime you can get a win like that, it's a good one.
That is a good one. And going back to last night, Rob, we did a lot better in the second half. So, you know, that's something that we talked about in the locker room after the game. We just, you know, you got against teams that are like Algona and other teams, we've got to start ready to play.
Sure.
It's hard to dig out of that hole. We cut it to five, and we just couldn't get anything after that.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some looks. They didn't go. You know, threw the ball away a couple times or whatever. So if we can just kind of be ready. Now, hopefully this competition helps us.
Yeah, and I think it will. I think it will. You and I talked about that a little bit earlier in the week about how that you use that to be able to step and just continue to progress for later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of one of those deals for you, you know, last night where you're playing a team that, a little bit, probably was a little bit of a bad matchup for you in some ways. And, you know, credit to your kids. They battled. They didn't roll over when they could have last night. And I think that says a lot about them.
Yeah, you know, they're capable. You know, that's the thing. And that does. You know, you don't – they did battle back, and they tried to do what the coaches were asking them defensively. And then offensively, we did a lot better of getting the ball in the paint, you know, and we did a lot better job of making our cuts more precise.
Right.
You know, so we got the ball where we wanted to get the ball. We have our little point guard off a cut, you know, getting a layup with their size inside. It was a great thing on Twitter last night. I retweeted it, but it's passing, cutting, screening, and then shooting. Shooting comes last out of all three of them.
It really does. And you talked about interior game there and getting a presence. Peyton Mayer really came alive when you were able to get him the ball in the second half.
He got it in good position. The kids did a good. He did a good job of cutting, sometimes sealing, and you know, the other players did a good job of finding it. So,
and that's a very underrated skill. Guys who know how to position their body and get positioned in the paint and carve out that space.
It's a knack. Rob, I think.
It really
they
is.
They developed that.
And I think it's something that takes a little time to kind of figure out how to do that.
Yeah, it does.
Hayden Mayer was 17, leads you last night. Jackson Palmer, Quentin McCarville with 11. Jackson Palmer had a pretty good game against Webster City, too. He's really starting to kind of emerge as your point guard, just a sophomore. Guys, you got to be excited about going forward.
You know, he's a pretty hard-nosed kid, and that's what we like. You know, things don't bother him, you know. He needs to be, and he seems pretty coachable. You know, there's so much to being a point guard, and you know that, right?
Sure, yeah.
There's so many little things that people don't realize. Getting people involved, you know, defending the other guard is huge.
Sure.
You know, and not turning the ball over.
Right.
And so there's so many aspects we're working on with him. You know, he's a capable scorer, and that's good to have out of your point guard that he can, you know, they can't leave him alone.
Right. Sure, they've got to honor that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned another big thing is being the floor general, knowing what you need to be in, when you need to be in it, knowing where guys need to be defensively, you know, all that, because you become the conduit for the coach.
Exactly right.
While you're on the floor out there as the point guard. And, you know, I was a point guard. I was good at that part. Now, I was always slower than the other point guard, so that was always, you know, a challenge. But you take on, you figure out how to work around that.
That's the key right there. You figure it out if you want to keep playing.
You sure do.
You learn, especially if you got a good one behind you. You learn how to position yourself defensively. You know, you learn how to pass the ball up the floor instead of dribbling it up the floor.
Or use the body to protect the ball and things like that.
Yeah, you can't cross over right in front of people.
Yeah, that was always my thing, is I was usually going to be stronger than the other point guard, but I was going to be slower. So if I just put the body on the other point guard, there was a good chance I was going to be able to protect the ball that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, even when you're slow, if you change speeds and you can change directions, that goes a long way, too.
Yes, it does. It really does.
That's something that now, you know, you've got that element with Jackson Palmer to where you've got some time, too, because he's just a sophomore, for all of that to come together. I think he could be a pretty special one for you before he's done.
You're right, Rob. I think so. You know, we've had some really good point guards over the years.
Yeah, Jack Brownlee.
Oh, Jack Brownlee, yeah, two-way player of the year. You know, Timmy Flattery with another team that was, you know, he has the Moonlight Graham podcast out of Des Moines. We're second in state, lost in double overtime in the state championship game to, like, Monroe PCM, and they had the tight end for the Hawkeyes, Lauren Meyer, and he played for the Oakland Raiders. he had 28 or so, maybe, no, 36, I think.
And what was it, your 06 team that won the state title?
Well, we're second, Rob.
You were second?
Yeah, we were ahead, lost a close one there. That was, what a great team. We beat the number one team in the state in the sub-state game to go to state.
Okay.
What a fun group. That had Justin Madsen was the point guard.
Okay. You know?
And then in 09, we had Joey Flattery, Tim Flattery's brother, when we went to state. And in 08, we had Jay Bunty. You know, they're a mold. They're a certain kind of kid. They have to be just a little bit tougher mentally than the rest of the kids.
That's true. That is absolute truth.
Yeah, and they got to be coachable. And, you know, when you love it when they start to pick that up, Rob, because you can look at them and they know what they're – this is okay, I got it. This would probably be the best thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really it's a neat chemistry.
When you start to build that chemistry, it's, you know, you have a veteran point guard who's been through the battles before. He'd come over there and tell you, hey, we might want to do this. We need to probably do this. This is what I see from right here in it. And you can usually trust that to make that adjustment.
And that's so important for him to tell his peers that.
Right.
Instead of listening, they've heard it in practice 40 times. Now their buddy tells them, hey, let's do this. This will work.
Right.
That means a lot sometimes.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And that leadership definitely comes into to play for you.
Yeah.
You know, you split this week, and I know you wanted to get that one last night for sure, but you split this week, and that's important that you at least have a split every week there. Now you've got some games coming up. You got a three-game week with Eagle Grove, Manson, Northwest Webster, and Clear Lake. Starting with Eagle Grove, I know that they have they've struggled this year, but it's one of those deals where they're playing a little better from what I could see, and they're going to be hungry coming out at home, you know, on Monday night to try to get in the win column, and they're certainly not going to roll over.
No, you're exactly right, Rob, and that's the way we have to look at it. We have to look at, we need to keep getting better every game. It's not so much the opponent, it's us.
Yeah.
And so we got to go into that game thinking this is what we got to do. If we played like, you know, like we did in the second half, more so against Algona, you know, then we're going to keep taking steps forward.
Right.
And that's what we try to do is we get closer to, you know, we get down the road.
Yeah, and that's true. And of course,
so that's what we're going to try to do. You're right. They're going to be ready to roll.
They are, and they've got a kind of guy that's emerging for them, a freshman, Drake Canavan. Who's kind of leading them in several categories there, and just a ninth grader. So you know that he's going to get better every time out. So that'll be that. And then Thursday night, you've got the Battle of Highway 7 at Manson on Thursday night. And we know they're hungry, too. We just talked to Coach Wubin, and they're starting to play better. So that's one of those deals. You know, the schedule maker didn't do you a favor because of these three games. You don't have a home game this week. You're on the road all week.
Yeah, we have like five or six straight away games to start the new year. The only good thing is it turns around at the end of
the
year.
Get it back at the back end, and that may help you to get some rhythm going into the playoffs.
You look at our record, we're a better road team than we are a home team now.
Yeah, you have
been. Coming on here.
And as I mentioned, you've been good coming off a loss, too.
Yeah, you know, and that's the players, a lot of it. You know, how they handle it and how they regroup. That's a mentality process that you want them to be able to go in. You know, and I think they're being more coachable. They're listening more. You know, that's huge to go ahead and keep doing that. Be progressing in that manner.
I think you're 3-1 on the season coming off a loss, I believe.
That's good, you know, and hopefully we're ready. You know, being it's a Monday night game, they give us the okay to go for a little bit on a Sunday to prepare.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we don't, you know, we stay away from weekends all the time.
Sure.
So we'll come in Sunday night and just try to touch base.
Walk through, get some shots.
Yeah, we have some tape on Eagles, so we'll get a little look at them and stuff. And Ryan Peterson does a great job over there. I give him a lot of credit. So we need to try to prepare a little bit and stuff. And I looked at Clear Lake. They have Iowa Prep puts out the top 10 performers from last Friday night.
Right.
And two of them are from Clear Lake.
I saw that they had a really good record. I haven't seen much on them, but I saw they had a really good record. And you've got the Jimmys and Joes. You're usually going to have a good record.
You need
that. That's part of it, right?
You know that, Rob. Exactly right.
That's kind of the deal there. And that'll be a tough game on Friday. But, you know, if you can play, if you can play well Monday and Thursday, I think you're in a good shape by the time you get to Friday.
But can't do anything but give you energy if you keep playing well, keep playing better, keep getting better. He, as a coach, we even try to coach him through those losses by those steps. You know, we say, you know, have you improved in this? Now, I was proud of him in that second half when we came out and we took three or four charges. Straight up, you know, and there are some big kids coming in, and by gosh, we stepped right in, bam. All of a sudden, You know, those are turnovers, and we start feeling good about ourselves, and we start playing harder. We're battling the boards, and they got a lot more size than we do. We're getting down in there, and we're banging with them. And you got your little guards going in there and pulling rebounds away. And that's what we need to do to get better.
Yeah.
And so hopefully.
Yeah, and you're a firm believer in your defensive end's going to spark your offensive end, and I believe in that too. And, that was something that was able to kind of spark your comeback last night.
You're exactly right, Rob. We move better. We cut better. We move the ball better. We don't even realize that, I think. Sometimes the players don't.
Yeah.
How much better they are on the other end.
Subconscious energy thing, I think it is. Like me, I was a full court pressure guy, especially when I coached girls basketball. I think it's pretty evident in other places I've been that, especially on the girls' side, that the players play with more energy when you go to that full court press, and you just have a little extra pep in your step as opposed to playing in half court. My last year when I was coaching girls, we played flat if we didn't press.
Yeah, that's a mentality that you developed with them. How many girls did you play off the bench?
I played about nine.
See, and that's the kind of team you got to have. You got to be a solid nine deep. When they go on, a good team will make you go half court defensively. Offensively.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah,
and some it did, and they beat us sometimes because of that.
Those nine girls have to be able to perform in the half court too. You have confidence in them, and that's where you run into that depth that's really good to have.
Right.
And so right now we're not at that level. Where we have nine
developing that rotation.
We are. We're a good solid eight right now. I mean, we're confident in the eight guys we got. So,
The style of play with you is a little more half court oriented with what you guys do too. So you can play eight guys unless you get in a game where it's going to be called really tightly and you get guys in foul trouble or whatever.
Yeah,
which I've noticed in Iowa, you can find those games if you're looking for them a little bit more than you can in other places. I've figured that out. They're whistle happy sometimes depending on the crew you get here.
We had a good crew last night on the Clear Lake. We play in a 3A conference.
Sure.
So a lot of times you don't see a lot of foul shots. And they let you play through contact. If they're good officials in that if the contact gives you an advantage, then it's a possible foul. Not looking for a little bump here, a little bump there. If it doesn't do anything, all the calls are doing is breaking up the rhythm of a game.
Yeah.
And players have to learn to be able to get through that stuff.
Yeah.
We had a great crew last night.
I think we all are all looking for the same thing, just consistency. Just consistency. However close you want to call it or how much you want to let everybody play, just be consistent in that. Don't call a hand check and then miss a body block at the rim. I think that's the most frustrating thing that you go through in coaching is the lack of consistency sometimes.
Yeah, players don't pick up on an idea how they're supposed to play that game.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out how you're supposed to go through that as a player. It is.
Yep.
I did notice this. As a player, I didn't notice the officiating hardly ever, but as a coach, I noticed it all the time. Boy, there's a big difference when you go to the other side of the bench over there.
Yeah, it's part of your job, part of their job. You prepare all week for two games. You want them to prepare too,
right?
And not just come in haphazardly, and it's no big deal. It is a big deal because these kids are working hard in practice.
Yeah.
So please come prepared. Now, we had the crew last night. I would have them as much as possible during the season. Dan, Tony, and Tony, they're out of Clear Lake. And I'll tell you, they're just solid. Now, one Tony popped his calf last night.
Oh, wow.
So I hope he's doing better today. They got some ice for him and stuff. They went two-man for second half, Those guys, I've had them for years, and they're just solid.
Right.
You know how you're going to play the game. They dictate it. They let you play. They call stuff that gives somebody an advantage. And it makes it fun as a coach.
Do they keep crews together up here or guys individually booked up here?
No, we have crews.
Okay.
For the most part. I think sometimes you get a different member of the crew if somebody is not going to be able to make it that night.
Yeah, sure.
So that's the good thing.
Hey, I like that, too, because that you're able to develop a chemistry within a crew, because I officiated for a while, too, and where I was at, it was pretty much individually booked, but a lot of guys in that area, we knew each other, and we'd, you know, been around each other and that kind of thing before, and you work with a guy a couple of times, and you can get a good feel for what he does.
So important.
You know, and so when I was working with that group, there were guys that I knew one way or the other, you know, and I'm like, okay, when I go in, I see, you know, they tell me who I'm working with, you know, oh, he's a good official. I just have to do me tonight. I don't have to worry about anything else. He's going to take care of him.
Exactly.
You know? And so that's important there. And because you never want to work with the guy that when you're somewhere who's going to put you in a situation where you might have to run to the car. Because down south, you might have to run to the car if the wrong call gets made, like in certain situations. Now, it's a lot more relaxed up here, I've noticed.
Sure.
But down there, if the wrong call gets made at the wrong time and it's bad enough, always thought, what about that? I got my stuff ready in the locker room. I'll go out in the stripes if I got to go out to the car, like if it gets to that situation. That's one of the things you're always, you know, kind of, that's in the back of your mind always, you know. And fortunately here, I got to say, the way things are handled here, you know, a first-class situation.
I think the association does a good job. I really do with our officials and, you know, letting those crews or developing crews. Now we're into developing younger officials.
Yeah, which is going to be a need because there's a lack of officials everywhere.
You're exactly right. And we've had some good, solid young guys on the road. We've had some sons of you know, older officials, I guess you'd call them, or more experienced officials that are going through it now, but a few more years. And you can tell they've been around officiating. And I think the association's doing a good job of developing those guys.
Yeah.
Or looking to develop. I have former players that are officiating now. We're going to have one late in the year. We talked to him back and forth, and it's important, and I think they're doing a good job of it.
Well, that's good, too. Yep. And, you know, I could always tell when I coached and then when I officiated as well, but I could tell when I had guys who had played or who had coached. I can tell an official that's played or coached from an official that
has. Exactly right, Rob. They know how to move. They got a feel for the game.
Yep. Yeah, it's a different instinct than that doesn't mean that guys that didn't play or didn't coach can't be good. They can.
Yeah.
They really can.
Yeah.
But it lends itself to being an advantage if you have.
Yep, I think so too, no doubt.
Coach Adolph Kokendorfer's my guest here, St. Edmund Boys Basketball. Coming off a loss last night against Algona, win earlier this week against Webster City. And, Coach, three-game set here. You talked a little bit about some depth. You've got three games this week, and that Thursday, Friday is going to be back-to-back here. So any idea about maybe shortening some of the rotations, try to go a little deeper on the bench?
You know,
like that?
It's interesting. I talked to Coach O'Rourke, my assistant. We talk all the time. And there's a couple kids in practice that I'm ready to pull a string and get them out there. I mean, even if it's just for a short period of time, but I'm gaining more confidence because every night in practice they work hard.
Sure.
So if I gain that confidence that they're working hard consistently, then I know good things are going to happen if we throw them in there. I mean, even if they just bang and get two rebounds and defend a little bit, they have earned some playing time. So that's a good point, Rob, and getting real close to that. I've been impressed with
And here's the thing, when a kid starts, you know, earning it or whatever, I mean, you know, at this point, it's one of those deals where it would be time to see if you've got something there or not.
Yeah.
Because when we get into February, you've got to know who you can go to and who you can.
That's when it shortens up here.
Yep.
The best guys you got. Now, we need guys that are going to rebound right now and bang inside. Now, we have a couple of those kids, a junior and a sophomore, that are doing a great job in practice right now. I mean, they are consistently working hard. A bucket here, a bucket there is great. But we need you to rebound. We need you to bang. And I was about ready last night to throw one in there. But we were okay depth-wise. So the game was more of a half-court game.
Well, it's one of those deals, Coach, now where, you know, you've got to start to figure that out because the rebounding thing is something we've been talking about since game one. I mean, this just didn't happen. It's been an issue where some nights it's been better than others,
yeah.
but but it's been kind of a focal point for you all season long.
Yeah, you know, so many people, like, if I'm a math teacher, it's what goes on in my classroom, you know, what they're learning, what they're picking up. The test is the game, you know, which is fine. Sure. They should be so prepared from that classroom work that you can let them play in the game.
Sure.
That's what we're looking for. You know, I mean, in those practices, people don't realize, you know, how kids develop into better players and how important it is.
Right.
And that's what we're working on right now. We're looking for just solid, consistent, hard play, even in practice. And we tend to shorten them up. We're getting to that time of the season where we might shorten the practice up, but we want you to go really hard then.
Yeah, if we're going to go an hour, let's go hard for an
hour. Yes, yeah.
And I'm one of those guys, too, and the philosophy for me is not, you don't have to be in the gym necessarily every day when you get into the grind of playing 2-3 games a week.
Yeah.
You know, my thing is more quality over quantity. I mean, if you go in there 5 times but you only have an average practice, then what does it matter? If you go in 3 times and you have a great practice, then you've
exactly right. That's such a – people don't talk about that enough, I don't think. You know, you want them sharp mentally and you want to have quality time. You don't need to – you know, I remember when I first started coaching, I did what I thought – I was supposed to do, and I wanted to look good to other people. We would go 2.5 hours sometimes because I felt like I'm covering my own back that way. I'm a good coach. And you could see kids getting stale.
Starting to hit the wall.
Yeah. And they wasn't soaking in anymore.
Right.
So as you get, you know, as you get older and you get a little more experience and stuff, you don't worry about, you know, what other people are saying.
Yeah.
You're in there with those guys. You want them to go hard, even if it's shorter. And so you have more confidence as a coach to do that. And I think that's important. I think that's what we're trying to do a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, too, when I was first coaching, I don't think I understood exactly how to manage minutes and manage players and stuff. And sometimes that management takes saying, you know, we've played 3 games this week. We're going to take a night off and let our, you know, and rest our legs and come back, you know. And especially, like, with my style of play, with the press, you know, there's times where you got to say, you know what, we're going to take this night off and we're going to come back after that.
You know, and that can be a really good call for a coach and for the players. That lets them, you know, regain that energy, rejuvenate a little bit. Mentally as well as physically.
Yeah, my last year, I think we ran into a stretch where we played 5 games in 8 nights, and, you know, playing the pressure style or whatever, we got to the point where that last game, I knew we were dead-legged. I mean, when you play Thursday, Friday, and then you play Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, you run into dead leg.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those deals where, I knew I had – basically, I had figured out that we had about 10 possessions where we could probably press and still have our legs throughout that 5th game of that 8-night stretch.
That's important.
And so that's what we did. I think I used it 9 times, Coach, and I think we won by 3 that night. So you know what I mean? It just kind of worked out. It was one of those deals where if we'd played them in the first part of the stretch where we could have pressured, we would have beat them a whole lot more handily, and I wouldn't have had to palpitations in my heart going on late in the ball game.
Great,
but,
Aaron.
You know, it is what it is. You get out there with a W.
You have to understand. You as a coach have to understand that.
Yeah.
You know, you're not after those 25-point wins every night.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you're getting the best out of them, and the other team's playing really well.
Right.
And you can get out of there, and, you know, 3 points is 3 points.
Right.
And you know, I think a coach that's been around understands that kind of thing where – you know, sometimes the margin of victory doesn't mean a heck of a lot.
Yeah, and that's, I think people get lost in the fact that you and I know this, but I don't know that everybody who watches basketball understands. You can't have a mountaintop performance every night.
You cannot
have it. You're going to have a handful of those throughout the season.
Yeah, emotionally high games where they're really fired up.
Yeah, when you're just clicking, you're going to have that sometimes. The key is to build your level of play to where you don't have to have the mountaintop game to still win games.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, that's the key.
That is the key. It's the key to the whole season. You're exactly right. You know, Rob,
You gotta go?
I'm helping at a wrestling meet.
Oh, well, you go ahead, Coach. I didn't know that. I wouldn't have kept you had I known.
No, I enjoy it. It's fun. I just got a text from the guy I'm working with.
Coach Adolph Kokendorfer has been my guest here.